Hello, listeners. Today is Wednesday, November 16th. Welcome to Behind the Numbers, Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Tealium. This is the show where we talk about how retail collides with every part of our lives. I'm your host, Sarah Lebo. We have a super special holiday episode for you today. Insider intelligence analyst and podcast vet Andrew Lipsman is diving deep into the history of Cyber Monday with Chief Product Officer for the NPD Group, Dan Hess. Over to you, Andrew.
Thank you, Sarah. So today we are going to talk about the history of Cyber Monday. Joining me today is Dan Hess, who spent the past 3 years as Chief Product Officer of the NPD Group, one of the outstanding market research companies in the industry that recently merged with IRI, in addition to a variety of executive roles that he's had mostly in the market research industry over the years. He's also one of the few people on earth who knows the real history of Cyber Monday. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I've been waiting for this one for a long time. I can't wait to dig in. So before we do that, though, I have to give a little bit of a wind up here. There's some backstory that I have to fill you all in on. So Dan also happens to be the guy that hired me into the marketing team at Comscore, which was my previous employer to Insider Intelligence, way back in November 2005. Funny story, though. I interviewed with Dan. He extended me an offer. It was a very gracious offer. I accepted. And then about a week before my start date, I actually find out from Dan that he had accepted a position at another company. Thanks for that, Dan.
I'm really sorry about that.
So we've chuckled about this over the years. So anyway, so I began my career at Comscore on November 21st, 2005. In the wake of Dan's departure from the company and without the full benefit of his vast institutional knowledge, our paths would intersect a handful of times over the years. And we actually eventually worked together during his second tour of duty at Comscore in 2016 and 2017.
And by the way, I appreciate your sticking around long enough for me to come back and actually get to work with you.
It was nice, right? And at that point, I felt like we were old friends, even though we hadn't worked side by side officially yet.
Agreed.
So let me paint you a picture of what I walked into on that first week on the job. Again, November 21st, 2005. So the head of comms at the time, a really nice guy named Jeremy, he was appointed to show me the new guy around. And all I remember from that first day is that his phone was ringing off the hook. And I remember looking at his phone and it was flashing 17 unheard voicemails. So I was thinking to myself at the time, is it always this crazy? That what is going on here? So he's getting absolutely inundated with media requests. And all of them are looking for our holiday e-commerce sales data and our forecast for Cyber Monday sales. Now, Comscore was one of the really the first measurement company that took on measuring e-commerce. So we had the data that really nobody else had at that point in time. Now, I'm completely green to all of this. I know almost nothing about e-commerce walking into this job for the first time, and everything is very disorienting to me. So why was the phone ringing off the hook? Because Cyber Monday had quite literally just become a thing. Shop.org, a division of the National Retail Federation, had just issued a press release that effectively created a new online shopping holiday predicated on the idea that e-commerce activity spiked on the Monday following Thanksgiving weekend. The shop.org press release headline from November 21st, 2005 read, and I quote, "Cyber Monday quickly becoming one of the biggest online shopping days of the year. The media frenzy ensues. Suddenly it's being covered everywhere from major financial press to network morning shows and even The Daily Show with Jon Stewart." I actually interviewed Scott Silverman, the CEO of shop.org at the time, on our podcast a couple of years back. And he said that, frankly, they had no idea that this would capture lightning in a bottle like it did. He recalled that the Wall Street Journal picked up the story and just everything snowballed from there. So Dan, Cyber Monday officially became a thing in November 2005, officially. But you and the team at Comscore actually knew about this phenomenon long before. Why don't you tell me the true origin story of Cyber Monday?
I have a feeling we're going to be hopping in the Wayback Machine a few times in this conversation, because if you go all the way back to when Comscore was just a young little startup, before Comscore, the only way you could measure online activity other than surveying people, which was slow and often imprecise, was through, remember, hits? visits and hits and page views and visitors and eventually unique visitors, but no one could see what people were actually buying. And things we know now, like variations in conversion rates and basket size and so on, were only known to the retailers themselves. But at Comscore, we had built this incredible new technology running on an enormous global consumer panel that was capturing what people bought, not just what they were visiting and watching, but what they actually bought down to the item level as it happened. And so by 2001, 2002, the company was 2-3 years old, and we had a panel that was big enough where we had critical mass of all this activity that no matter what the holiday, we had a team of people that were sitting there running the data, and I was sitting there, and after I left, you were sitting there on every major holiday and such, glued to the screen, waiting for the latest run of data, looking for what was going to pop. Super Bowl was another example where we were watching the response to ads. No doubt you were as popular as I was at family dinners and parties as the guy who was sitting in the corner looking at data while everyone was having drinks and eating.
I still have PTSD about that.
I know. It's amazing that I eventually got married after a couple of those stunts. But anyway, here we were. It was 2002. We're watching the holiday shopping season unfold day by day, even hour by hour. And everyone was waiting to see what was going to happen on Black Friday itself. We definitely saw a pop after people left the dinner table. Then over the weekend, people still went to the mall. And shopping was the social experience that it had always been. And things quieted down online. But then by Tuesday morning, we're looking at the Monday data. And online shopping had lit up quite appropriately like a Christmas tree. And we knew at that point that we had stumbled on a pretty major disruption in consumer behavior.
So just in case you don't believe that Dan and team were onto this phenomenon years earlier, let me read to you from a December 4th, 2002 article written by Anne DiNascenzio of the Associated Press. The headline reads, "Online holiday sales see post-Thanksgiving surge." And the article notes, and I quote, "E-commerce sales continued to gather momentum Monday when sales totaled $231.5 million, up 37% from the Monday after Thanksgiving a year ago," Comscore reported. "While the day after Thanksgiving is traditionally seen as the start of the holiday shopping season for brick-and-mortar merchants, the following Monday is now being recognized by some as the kickoff point for e-tailers. Comscore has dubbed it Black Monday, referring to the expectation sales will push retailers out of the red and into the black. Monday marks the return to work where many shoppers prefer to do their online shopping. Now I quote, the majority of Americans still depend on the work PC for the convenience of high-speed connection, said Dan Hess, a spokesman for Comscore. Well, there it is, folks. Incontrovertible proof of the true early history of Cyber Monday. And as far back as 2002, you actually offered the theory for why this phenomenon was taking place. Why was shopping at work such a key driver?
Well, actually, it was about 6 months before discovering Black Monday, later Cyber Monday, that we had published, I published a paper in an advertising research journal about this major trend in workplace shopping, online shopping from the workplace. And again, the Comscore panel at that time had coverage of home, university, and work machines, which were very difficult to measure. And we had seen this major pop. And here, again, I think it's best to go back in the Wayback Machine. This is 2002. Only about half of the population has access to the internet in the United States. And of those, less than 10% have a high-speed connection from home, right? That's crazy today, but that was our reality. So you try shopping on a 56K dial-up connection, or as one of the millions of people that didn't have access at all from home. So now compare that to going into work and sitting at your desk and all of those challenges go away, and shopping to the extent that sites could deliver it became a much smoother, faster experience. So that research that we had done months earlier, and that was in fact a trend that we had been monitoring for quite a long time before publishing it, really set the stage for us to understand what was going on here.
And I can recall in the subsequent years, we would always look at that Cyber Monday result and break down sales between home and work computers. And work was always about 50% or maybe even slightly more of total sales. So work was that kind of key driver for what was going on. Now, you even tried to give the day a moniker back then. I love that that pops up in the article that Comscore dubbed it Black Monday. Tell me the thinking behind that.
It seemed so simple back then. We were a young company. We were building awareness. We were trying to build credibility with the biggest brands in all of these industries that we served. And we realized that a big part of that seems intuitive in hindsight, but is to speak our clients' own language. So today, Black Friday has become a consumer term, or Cyber Monday. It stands for the big sale, big promotion opportunity, big buying opportunity. But at that time, it really was an insider term for retailers and Wall Street. Not that it was a big secret. And the meaning for people that don't remember back then is that this is when retailer P&Ls are finally out of the red and into the black because they run at a loss or barely break even for much of the year. But in the holidays and on the Friday after Thanksgiving, when things just go crazy, that's Black Friday and that's when things get good for retailers. So to us, it just seemed natural to use the phrase that our clients, retailers and other brands had been using all these years.
Yeah. And I actually, in my research for this episode, went back and found an interview from some of the shop.org folks. And they were talking about when they used the Cyber Monday name, they landed on that. They actually went through some options where Black Monday, Green Monday, and Blue Monday were all options on the table. So it's just interesting how these things fall out and then how, you know, one term ends up kind of catching a wave. Now, one of the other funny things about the early years of Cyber Monday is the rampant misinformation about what the day actually was and wasn't. There's a New York Times article from December 30th, 2005, written by Michael Barbaro, which said, before the holidays began, retailers predicted that the Monday after Thanksgiving would be the busiest online shopping day of the season, reasoning that consumers returning from the holiday weekend would sit at their computers and buy all day. The National Retail Federation even gave it a nickname, Cyber Monday. The most important day of the season was indeed a Monday, but it was Monday, December 12th, 2 weeks later. So for years afterwards, it got misreported as the heaviest online shopping day of the year, even though nobody ever actually claimed that to be the case. Remember, the shop.org press release said one of the heaviest shopping days. In 2005, according to the Comscore data, it was actually the eighth heaviest shopping day that year. In 2006, it was only the 12th heaviest. In general, Mondays were the biggest days of the week with the back-to-work phenomenon playing out. So it was typically the second Monday in December that was the actual peak spending day online during those early years. Then in 2007, eBay actually tried to coin a term. They tried to claim ownership over that day and gave it the moniker Green Monday, which was actually, from where I sat, pretty useful as a fake promotional day to at least provide a reality check and some differentiation against Cyber Monday. That year, 2007, Cyber Monday was actually the ninth heaviest spending day.
You know, Andrew, if I can jump in for a sec, you're really taking me back here to all of those days of misinformation and our ability to see what was actually going on. And if you remember, online shopping really built to a crescendo over the course of the season. And the crescendo was also very much tied to shipping guarantees, right?
Yeah.
So two-day shipping became a real prized thing among for consumers. And there were a fairly small number of online retailers that were starting to offer that. It picked up more and more and more. But until that point, every site was advertising what its deadline was to have their product guaranteed to arrive by Christmas. And so people were racing against those deadlines.
Absolutely. And then eventually they created kind of an official free shipping day, which that was usually the last big day for the season, and then everything fell off a cliff. I forget when they introduced that, probably around 2008 or 2009. Speaking of those years, so in 2008, that's when things started to actually shift for Cyber Monday. The economy, as you might recall, was in free fall. The financial crisis was happening. Suddenly, Cyber Monday's heavy discounts really ratcheted up in importance, and a lot of retailers got into the act. So that year, the day actually surged into the number three position for the year. By 2009, it jumped to number two. And then finally, in 2010, it actually emerged as the number one online spending day of the year. And it hasn't looked back since. So after a quick break from our sponsor, we will chat about Cyber Monday 2022, how far it's come over the past 20 years, and what to expect this year.
What What does every brand with amazing shopping experiences have in common? They fundamentally understand their customers' preferences and interests at scale and put that understanding at the heart of every experience. So how do you do that? With Tealium, you can create complete customer profiles to fuel personalization, foster loyalty, and turn browsers into repeat customers. Learn more on how Tealium can help you drive better customer experiences by visiting Tealium for Retail at tealium.com/industry-retail.
All right, welcome back to the show. So this year, we at Insider Intelligence forecast that Cyber Monday will reach $11.8 billion in spending in the U.S., up from less than $250 million 20 years ago in 2002. We expect it will be the heaviest online shopping day once again, outpacing Black Friday at number two with about $9.8 billion. So Dan, when you think about Cyber Monday 20 years later, did you ever think that it would grow into such a phenomenon, a promotional event that's now mentioned in the same breath as Black Friday when you and your team first discovered it?
I'm not sure that at that early time we were thinking about the level of promotion that would accompany it, but given a little more time, no doubt we would have. Honestly, I do think that we expected that it was always going to be a massive day of online shopping and massively important to the industry. Again, thinking back to the context of that time, some of your listeners will probably realize it wasn't that long before all of this unfolded that a lot of companies restricted their employees' access to the open web. There was this great fear of a sinkhole of productivity, that people would be watching inappropriate content at work. And of course, some of that stuff happened, but the fear was much greater than the reality. If you look at the article that I mentioned, which I dug up from 6 months before that Black Monday occurrence, the one that I mentioned on workplace shopping, one of the things I mentioned was the reality that a lot of companies were asking employees to do more and more with less people. And so to trust them to take a few minutes here and there, and that's really what we saw. There were distinct periods during the day that people tended to switch to shopping mode right when they got in, right before lunch, right before they left. It's not at the same thunderous level throughout the day, although I haven't seen the hourly trends in a while. Anyway, for companies to trust their employees to take a few minutes to get these shopping errands done without leaving their desks had its benefits to everyone, to the employees and the companies. And I think once that cat's out of the bag, it's not going back in.
Yeah. And I mean, it seems like the day, obviously, there was such a strong reason for consumers to do it. But it seems like it's really had a huge validating effect on e-commerce overall. And when we think about where e-commerce is at today, especially, you know, since the pandemic, when we had this massive boom, it's kind of been propelled in some ways by the holiday season specifically, and maybe Cyber Monday, even more specifically than that. Nothing? Dead air? All right.
Agreed.
So looking back, Dan, do you ever feel like that early Comscore team that was pouring over that data as it came in and discovered this phenomenon? Do you ever feel like you were the explorers who maybe first discovered America? I think it was Leif Erikson and the Vikings, actually, only to see Christopher Columbus get a holiday named after him.
Or like Bruce Springsteen and Manfred Mann with his cover of Blinded by the Light.
There you go.
Slightly more recent example. Yeah, sure. I think so. I mean, we had this incredible team that built a global measurement system that a lot of people said we would never be able to do. A lot of people said it's impossible. You had the benefit. I had the benefit of mining all the data that that team made possible. We made more wild discoveries over the years than we can remember. We really got to chart the course, this journey of the rise of the consumer internet. And this is so Black Monday, Cyber Monday was one of the bigger and more memorable discoveries, but not necessarily memorable thanks to us. Right? Shop.org and the NRF had the authority and the marketing muscle and an audience that was much bigger than we did. So, and for that matter, they represented the very industry that owned Black Friday as a term. So I think they had a unique ability to build on that. And let's face it, sometimes that's the price of being on the edge of innovation. And there are plenty of examples in history and plenty of other examples in my career where this sort of thing happened, and you just got to roll with it.
Very well put. So when you look at Cyber Monday this year, 2022, what are your thoughts on the current state of the shopping holiday, how it's evolved, and why is this still a thing when we all actually have high-speed internet connections now?
Well, I went back to dial-up, just a sort of retro move on my part, and I think it's going to catch on. To everything, there's a season, and every holiday season, every holiday shopping season, I think has some unique context that influences the shopping dynamics that we see. We know, when we've seen this for a while now, the shopping season starts earlier than it ever did in years past, largely thanks to e-commerce and internet promotions and research. The very definition of online shopping has evolved. Things that we were starting to predict back in the early days, but technology wouldn't support, like BOPUS, buy online, pick up in store. So there's just always going to be this great allure of online shopping. At the same time, if you look at research that NPD just released this week, you'll see that this year, shoppers are actually planning to buy more in stores, in physical stores, than last year. And I think even with lockdowns seemed like a million years ago, but a lot of people are still shaking off that cocoon of being locked down. And you see that in the travel industry as well. For a lot of people, shopping is sport. And for many of those, that sport is still more fun out in the fresh air. So I think that to get out of the house or office to do it is something that we're going to continue to see. And that's what I think will be certainly different to some extent this year, and we'll continue to see that in the future. It's also, by the way, an opportunity to socialize with friends or family. And coming full circle, you still got to go to work on that Monday, and you still got to get the shopping done. So we're always, I think, going to see that pop.
But fewer and fewer people actually going into the office for it.
But they're still expected to be at their desks.
Right. Yeah, you mentioned the sort of new shape of the season, right? It's been pulled forward. We have a new tentpole with Prime Day, or the Prime Early Access sale in October. The dynamics of holiday shopping have really disrupted things. And Cyber 5 period it's taken a little bit of wind out of the sails in the past couple of years, where while we still think that Cyber Monday is going to be the biggest day of the year, and $11.8 billion is quite a lot of spending, we're only projecting about a 3% growth rate. So much more muted growth than we had seen in the past, when year in and year out, Cyber Monday, you know, was growing at least several percentage points faster than e-commerce growth, which tended to benchmark at around, you know, 15 to 17% growth. So one of the other interesting wrinkles to this season, having to do with Cyber Monday, is Walmart actually unveiled a serialized ad campaign for the holiday season that reboots the cult classic Office Space. The campaign's called Case of the Mondays.
Hey, did you know
Black Friday's on Mondays? Yeah, we know.
Okay.
So the premise of this is that in-store Walmart shoppers from the holiday weekend should basically continue shopping Walmart.com on Cyber Monday and subsequent Mondays throughout the holiday season. Dan, you and I both shared this video before we got on the call on the podcast. What are your thoughts on this ad campaign, and do you like the strategy, or what do you think is the strategy behind it?
Well, first, who doesn't love Office Space? So love that. I actually am going to, hopefully you'll forgive me, I'm going to pass on commenting on Walmart's strategy in particular. I will say that there are countless companies now. Walmart is clearly one of the great leaders among many that have done really a brilliant job after all these years of connecting the dots between physical stores and online in lots of different ways, in a way that meets shoppers' needs beautifully. I think back to those early days of online shopping when the .com division of a retailer was in its own silo and the stores couldn't talk to the e-commerce operation and vice versa. Those things have, for the most part, gone completely away. These retailers are giving shoppers a better experience than ever. And I will say, if I think about that campaign that's looking to drive people to shop online, to the extent that a brand like that can get consumers to engage through any channel, they're set up now to open those doors to engage shoppers through every channel. That's the way I think of it.
And Walmart and others truly are omni-channel leaders. And certainly in the last few years, we've seen this rise of click and collect or buy online, pick up in store. And that's, I think, created even further connective tissue between online and offline shopping. I'll provide a point of view on the strategy of this that kind of struck me, which is that, as we mentioned, the holiday season is getting pulled forward and it's taking a little bit of the wind out of the sails of that Thanksgiving shopping weekend period into Cyber Monday. Walmart in particular, right, their prime time has always been Thanksgiving Day and Black Friday. And the NRF numbers show that shopping traffic has been down quite a bit over the last couple of years. So, you know, one way that Walmart can kind of fight back against that headwind is to make a stronger push on online. Now, Amazon's a clear number one in e-commerce, but Walmart's a pretty solid number two, and consumers are shopping online. Why not give them more reason to continue that shopping process that they started in the store on the holiday weekend into Monday, when they might actually switch and go to Amazon or another retailer? And then I thought the choice of office space was very smart by design, because it plays into exactly this effect of getting back into the office on Monday and continuing this shopping experience. So I think from a strategic standpoint, it's actually one of the best ads strategy-wise that I think I've seen in a long time. So well done, Walmart. We'll see how it works. Dan, this is all the time we have for today's episode. I hope everyone enjoyed our historical excavation of the forgotten history of Cyber Monday, and a very special thank you to Dan for joining us today.
This was a blast. Thanks, Andrew.
Thank you, Andrew, and thanks, Dan. Please give us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts, and follow us on Instagram at behindthenumbers_podcast. Thank you, listeners, and to Victoria, who edits the podcast when she's not surfing for sick Cyber Monday deals. We'll be back next Wednesday with another episode of Reimagining Retail, an e-marketer podcast made possible by Telium. And tomorrow, join Marcus for another episode of the Behind the Numbers Daily, an e-marketer podcast.